3. In our humiliation, besides that, we are under a necessity of deprecating God's wrath and vowing to God sincerely new obedience. The weakness, coldness, silence, and lukewarmness of some of the best of the ministry, and the deadness of professors who have suffered the truth both secretly to be stolen away and openly to be plucked from us, would be confessed. 4. Atheism, idolatry, profanity, and vanity should be confessed. Our king's heart recommended to God, and God entreated that he would stir up the nobles and the people to turn from their evil ways. Thus, madam, hoping that your ladyship will join with others, that such a work be not slighted at such a necessary time when our kirk is at the overturning, I will promise to myself your help, as the Lord in secrecy and prudence shall enable you, that your ladyship may rejoice with the Lord's people when deliverance shall come. For true and sincere humiliation come always speed with God. And when authority, king, court, and church men oppose the truth, what other armor have we but prayer and faith? Whereby, if we wrestle with him, there is ground to hope that those who would remove the burdensome stone, Zechariah 12:3, out of its place, shall but hurt their back, and the stone shall not be moved, at least not removed. Grace, grace be with you from him who hath called you to the inheritance of the saints in light. Your ladyship's at all submissive obedience in his sweet Lord Jesus. S.R. Anwath, January 23, 1634. Letter 32 for Marion McNaught. State and Prospects of the Church. Satan. Mistress, my love in Christ remembered, I am in care and fear for this work of our Lord's, now near approaching, because of the danger of the time, and I dare not for my soul be silent, to see my Lord's house burning, and not cry, fire, fire. Therefore seek from our Lord wisdom spiritual, and not black policy, to speak with liberty our Lord's truth. I am cast down, and would fain have access and presence to the king that day, even howbeit I should break up iron doors. I believe you will not forget me, and you will desire Jean Brown, Thomas Carson, and Marion Carson to help me. Pray for well-cooked meat and a heartsome Savior with joy crying, welcome in my Father's name. I am confident Zion shall be well. The bush shall burn and not consume, for the good will of him that dwelt in the bush. But the Lord is making on a fire in Jerusalem, and purposeth to blow the bellows, and to melt the tin and brass, and bring out a fair, beautiful bride out of the furnace, that will be married over again upon the new husband, and sing as in the days of her youth, when the contract of marriage is written over again. But I fear the bride be hidden for a time from the dragon that pursueth the woman with child. But what? Howbeit we go and lurk in the wilderness for a time? For the Lord will take his kirk to the wilderness and speak to her heart. Nothing casteth me down, but only I fear the Lord will cast down the shepherd's tents and feed his own in a secret place. But let us, however matters frame, cast over the affairs of the bride upon the bridegroom. The government is upon his shoulders, and he dow bear us all well enough. That fallen star, the prince of the bottomless pit, knoweth it is near the time when he shall be tormented. And now in his evening he hath gathered his armies to win one battle or two in the edge of the evening at the sun going down. And when our Lord has been watering his vineyards in France and Germany and Bohemia, how can we think ourselves Christ's sister if we be not like him and our other great sisters? I cannot but think, seeing the ends of the earth are given to Christ, Psalm 2:8, and Scotland is the end of the earth, and so we are in Christ's charter, Tailsy, but our Lord will keep his possession. We fall by promise and law to Christ. He won us with the sweat of his brow, if I may say so. His father promised him his life rent of Scotland. Glory, glory to our King. Long may he wear his crown. O Lord, let us never see another king. O let him come down like rain upon the new mown grass. I had you in remembrance on Saturday in the morning last, in a great measure, and was brought thrice on end in remembrance of you in my prayer to God. Grace, grace, be your portion. Yours in his sweet Lord Jesus, F. R. Anwath, March 2, 1634. Letter 33 for Marian MacNaught, in prospect of a communion season. Mistress, my love in Christ remembered, please you understand to my grief our communion is delayed till Sabbath come 8 days. The laird and lady hath earnestly desired me to delay it, because the laird is sick, and he fears he be not able to travel, because he is lately taken physic. The Lord bless that work. Commend it to God as you love me, for I love not Satan's thorns cast in the Lord's way. The Lord rebuke him. I trust in God's mercy. Satan has gotten but a delay, but no free discharge, that his kingdom shall not be hurt. Commend the laird to your God. I pray you advertise your people that they be not disappointed in coming here. Show such of them as you love in Christ from me that Jesus Christ will be welcome when he comes, in that he has sharpened their desires for 8 days' space. Your daughter is well, I hope, every way. Forget not God's kirk. They are but bastards and not sons and daughters that mourn not for Zion. Lord, hear us no further. Jesus Christ be with your spirit. I shall remember you and your new house. Lord Jesus, go from the one house to the other. Yours at all power in the Lord, F. R. Anwath. Letter 34 for Marian MacNaught, prospects of the church, Christ's care for the children of believers. Well, beloved sister, my old and dearest love in Christ remembered, know that I have been visiting my Lady Kenmure. Her child is with the Lord. I entreat you visit her, and desire the good wife of Barcapple to visit her. Barcapple is in the stewartry of Kirkcudbright, in the parish of Tongue Land. And Knockbrex, Mr. Gordon, if you see him in the town. My lord, her husband is absent, and I think she will be heavy. You know what Mr. W. Dalglish and I desired you to deal for at my lord Kirkcudbright's hand. Send me word if you obtained anything at my lord's hands anent the giving up of our names to the High Commission, for I hear it is not for nothing that the bishop hath taken that course. Our Lord knows best what is good for an old kirk that has fallen from her first love and hath forgotten her husband days without number. A trial is like to come on, but I am sure our husbandman Christ shall loose chaff, but no corn at all. Yet there is a dry wind coming, but neither to fan nor to purge. Happy are they who are not blown away with the chaff, for we will but suffer temptation for 10 days. But those who are faithful to the death shall receive the crown of life. I hear daily what hath been spoken of myself, most unjustly and falsely. And no marvel, the dragon with the swing of his tail hath made the third part of the stars to fall from heaven, and the fallen stars would have many to fall with them. If ever Satan was busy, now when he knoweth his time is short, he is busy. Yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. I know, ere it be long, the Lord shall come and rid all pleas betwixt us and our enemies. Now welcome, Lord Jesus. Go fast. Send me word about Grizel, your daughter, whom I remember in Christ, and desire her to cast herself in his arms, who was born of a woman, and being the Ancient of Days, was made a young weeping child. It was not for nothing that our brother Jesus was an infant. It was that he might pity infants of believers who were to come out of the womb into the world. I believe our Lord Jesus shall be waiting on with mercy, mercy, mercy to the end of that battle and bring her through with life and a peace and a sign of God's favor. I will expect advertisement from you, and especially if you fear her. Mistress, you remember that I said to you anent your love to me and my brother begun in Christ. You know we are here but strangers, and you have not yet found us a dry well as others have been. Be not overcome of any suspicion. I trust in God that the Lord, who knit us together, shall keep us together. It is time now that the lambs of Jesus should all run together when the wolf is barking at them. Yet I know, ere God's bairns want a cross, their love among themselves shall be a cross. But our Lord giveth a love for another end. I know you will, with love, cover infirmities, and our Lord give you wisdom in all things. I think love hath broad shoulders, and will bear many things, and yet neither faint nor sweat, nor fall under the burden. Commend me to your husband and dear Grizel. I think on her. Lord Jesus, be in the furnace with her, and then she will but smoke and not burn. Desire Mr. Robert to excuse my not seeing of him at his house, Mr. Robert Glendinning, the minister. I have my own reasons, therefore, for this, as in our meter version, Psalm 106:40, etc. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you. Yours in his sweet Lord Jesus, F.R. Anwath, April 25, 1634. Letter 35, to my Lady Kenmure, on the death of a child. God measures our days. Bereavements ripen us for the harvest. Madam, all submissive and dutiful obedience in our Lord Jesus remembered. I trust I need not much entreat your ladyship to look to him who hath stricken you at this time, but my duty in the memory of that comfort I found in your ladyship's kindness when I was no less heavy in a case not unlike that speaketh to me to say something now. And I wish I could ease your ladyship at least with words. I am persuaded your physician will not slay you, but purge you, seeing he calleth himself the chirurgeon, who maketh the wound and bindeth it up again. For to lance a wound is not to kill, but to cure the patient. Deuteronomy 32:39. I believe faith will teach you to kiss a striking Lord, and so acknowledge the sovereignty of God in the death of a child, to be above the power of us mortal men, who may pluck up a flower in the bud and not be blamed for it. If our dear Lord pluck up one of his roses and pull down sour and green fruit before harvest, who can challenge him? For he sendeth us to his world as men to a market, wherein some stay many hours, and eat and drink and buy and sell, and pass through the fair till they be weary. And such are those who live long and get a heavy fill of this life. And others again come slipping into the morning market, and do neither sit nor stand, nor buy nor sell, but look about them a little, and pass presently home again. And these are infants and young ones, who end their short market in the morning, and get but a short view of the fair. Our Lord, who hath numbered man's months, and set him bounds that he cannot pass, Job 14:5, hath written the length of our market, and it is easier to complain of the decree than to change it. I verily believe when I write this, your Lord hath taught your ladyship to lay your hand on your mouth. But I shall be far from desiring your ladyship or any others to cast by a cross like an old useless bill that is only for the fire, but rather would wish each cross were looked in the face 7 times and were read over and over again. It is the messenger of the Lord and speaks something. And the man of understanding will hear the rod, and him that hath appointed it. Try what is the taste of the Lord's cup, and drink with God's blessing, that ye may grow thereby. I trust in God, whatever speech it utter to your soul, this is one word in it. Behold, blessed is the man whom God correcteth. Job 5:17. And that it saith to you, ye are from home while here. Ye are not of this world, as your Redeemer Christ was not of this world. There is something keeping for you, which is worth the having. All that is here is condemned to die, to pass away like a snowball before a summer sun. And since death took first possession of something of yours, it hath been and daily is, creeping nearer and nearer to yourself, howbeit with no noise of feet. Your husbandman and Lord hath lopped off some branches already. The tree itself is to be transplanted to the high garden. In a good time be it. Our Lord, ripen your ladyship. All these crosses, and indeed, when I remember them, they are heavy and many. Peace, peace be the end of them, are to make you white and ripe for the Lord's harvest hook. I have seen the Lord weaning you from the breasts of this world. It was never his mind it should be your patrimony, and God be thanked for that. Ye look the liker one of the heirs. Let the movables go. Why not? They are not yours. Fasten your grips upon the heritage, and our Lord Jesus make the charters sure, and give your ladyship to grow as a palm tree on God's Mount Zion, howbeit shaken with winds, yet the root is fast. This is all I can do to recommend your case to your Lord, who hath you written upon the palms of his hand. If I were able to do more, your ladyship may believe me that gladly I would. I trust shortly to see your ladyship. Now he who hath called you, confirm and establish your heart in grace unto the day of the liberty of the sons of God. Your ladyships, that all submissive obedience in his sweet Lord Jesus, S.R., Anwath, April 29, 1634. Letter 36. For Marion McNaught, choice of a commissioner for Parliament. Well, beloved mistress, my love in Christ remembered, I hear this day your town is to choose a commissioner for the Parliament, and I was written to from Edinburgh to see that good men should be chosen in your bounds, and I have heard this day that Robert Glendoning or John Ewart look to be chosen. I beseech you, see this be not. The Lord's cause craveth other witnesses to speak for him than such men, and therefore let it not be said that Kirkcudbright, which is spoken of in this kingdom for their religion, hath sent a man to be their mouth that will speak against Christ. Such a time as this will not fall out once in half an age. I would entreat your husband to take it upon him. It is an honorable and necessary service for Christ, and show him that I wrote unto you for that effect. I fear William Glendoning hath not skill and authority. I am in great heaviness. Pray for me, for we must take our life in our hand in this ill time. Let us stir up ourselves to lay our Lord's bride and her wrongs before our husband and Lord. Lord Jesus, be with your spirit. Yours in his sweet Lord Jesus, S.R., Anwath, May 20. Letter 37 to my Lady Kenmure. On the death of Lord Kenmure, designs of and duties of affliction. My very noble and worthy lady, so oft as I call to mind the comforts that I myself, a poor friendless stranger, received from your ladyship here in a strange part of the country, when my Lord took from me the delight of mine eyes, Ezekiel 24:16, as the word speaketh, which wound is not yet fully healed and cured. I trust your Lord shall remember that, and give you comfort now at such a time as this, wherein your dearest Lord hath made you a widow, that ye may be a free woman for Christ, who is now suiting for marriage love of you. And therefore, since you lie alone in your bed, let Christ be as a bundle of myrrh, to sleep and lie all the night betwixt your breasts. Canticles 1:13. And then your bed is better filled than before. And seeing amongst all crosses spoken of in our Lord's word, this giveth you a particular right to make God your husband, which was not so yours while your husband was alive. Read God's mercy out of this visitation. Albeit I must, out of some experience, say the mourning for the husband of your youth be, by God's own mouth, the heaviest worldly sorrow, Joel 1:8. And though this be the weightiest burden that ever lay upon your back, yet ye know when the fields are emptied and your husband now asleep in the Lord, if ye shall wait upon him who hideth his face for a while, that it lieth upon God's honor and truth to fill the field and to be a husband to the widow. See and consider then what ye have lost, and how little it is. Therefore, madam, let me entreat you in the bowels of Christ Jesus and by the comforts of His Spirit and your appearance before Him, let God and men and angels now see what is in you. The Lord hath pierced the vessel. It will be known whether there be in it wine or water. Let your faith and patience be seen, that it may be known your only beloved first and last hath been Christ. And therefore, now wear your whole love upon Him. He alone is a suitable object for your love and all the affections of your soul. God hath dried up one channel of your love by the removal of your husband. Let now that speech run upon Christ. Your Lord and lover hath graciously taken out your husband's name and your name out of the summonses that are raised at the instance of the terrible sin-revenging judge of the world against the house of the Kenmures. And I dare say that God's hammering of you from your youth is only to make you a fair carved stone in the high upper temple of the New Jerusalem. Your Lord never thought this world's vain-painted glory a gift worthy of you, and therefore would not bestow it on you, because He is to propine you with a better portion. Let the movables go. The inheritance is yours. Ye are a child of the house, and joy is laid up for you. It is long in coming, but not the worse for that. I am now expecting to see, and that with joy and comfort, that which I hoped of you, since I knew you fully, even that ye have laid such a strength upon the Holy One of Israel, that ye defy troubles, and that your soul is a castle that may be besieged, but cannot be taken. What have ye to do here? This world never looked like a friend upon you. Ye owe it little love. It looked ever sour-like upon you. Howbeit ye should woo it, it will not match with you. And therefore never seek warm fire under cold ice. This is not a field where your happiness groweth. It is up above, where there are a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Revelation 7:9. What ye could never get here, ye shall find there. And withal, consider how in all these trials, and truly, they have been many. Your Lord hath been loosing you at the root from perishing things, and hunting after you to grip your soul. Madam, for the Son of God's sake, let Him not miss His grip, but stay and abide in the love of God, as Jude saith, Jude 21. Now, madam, I hope your ladyship will take these lines in good part, and wherein I have fallen short and failed to your ladyship in not evidencing what I was obliged to your more than undeserved love and respect, I request for a full pardon for it. Again, my dear and noble lady, let me beseech you to lift up your head, for the day of your redemption draweth near. And remember, that star that shined in Galway is now shining in another world. Now I pray that God may answer in His own style to your soul, and that He may be to you the God of all consolations. Thus I remain, your ladyships, at all dutiful obedience in the Lord, S.R. Anwatt, September 14, 1634. Letter 38 to Marian McNaught. Christ's care of His church and His judgments on her enemies. Mistress, My dearest love in Christ remembered, I entreat you, charge your soul to return to rest and to glorify your dearest Lord in believing, and know that, for the good will of him that dwelleth in the bush, the burning kirk shall not be consumed to ashes, but blessing shall come on the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Deuteronomy 33:16. And are not the saints separate from their brethren, and sold, and hated? For the archers have sorely grieved Joseph, and shot at him, and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Genesis 49:23-24. From him is the shepherd and the stone of Israel. The stone of Israel shall not be broken in pieces. It is hammered upon by the children of this world, and we shall live and not die. Our Lord hath done all this to see if we will believe and not give over, and I am persuaded you must of necessity stick by your work. The eye of Christ hath been upon all this business, and he taketh good heed to who is for him and who is against him. Let us do our part as we would be approved of Christ. The Son of God is near to his enemies. If they were not deaf, they may hear the din of his feet. And he will come with a start upon his weeping bairns, and take them on his knee, and lay their head in his bosom, and dry their watery eyes. And this day is fast coming. Yet a little time, and the vision will speak. It will not tarry. Habakkuk 2:3. These questions betwixt us and our adversaries will all be decided in yonder day, when the Son of God shall come and read all pleas, and it will be seen whether we or they have been for Christ, and who have been pleading for Baal. It is not known what we are now, but when our life shall appear in glory, then we shall see who laughs fastest that day. Therefore, we must possess our souls in patience, and go into our chamber and rest, while the indignation be past. We shall not weep long when our Lord shall take us up in the days that he gathereth his jewels. They that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. Malachi 3:16. I shall never be of another faith but that our Lord is heating a furnace for the enemies of his kirk in Scotland. It is true the spouse of Christ hath played the harlot, and hath left her first husband, and the enemies think they offend not, for we have sinned against the Lord. But they shall get the devil to their thanks. The rod shall be cast into the fire, that we may sing as in the days of our youth. My dear friend, therefore lay down your head upon Christ's breast. Weep not. The Lion of the tribe of Judah will arise. The sun is gone down upon the prophets, and our gold is become dim. And the Lord feedeth his people with waters of gall and wormwood. Yet Christ standeth but behind the wall. His bowels are moved for Scotland. He waiteth, as Isaiah saith, that he may show mercy. If we could go home and take our brethren with us, weeping with our face towards Zion, asking the way thitherward, he would bring back our captivity. We may not think that God has no care of his honor, while men tread it under their feet. He will clothe himself with vengeance, as with a cloak, and appear against our enemies for our deliverance. Ye were never yet beguiled, and God will not now begin with you. Wrestle still with the angel of the covenant, and you shall get the blessing. Fight. He delighteth to be overcome by wrestling. Commend me to Grizel. Desire her to learn to know the adversaries of the Lord, and to take them as her adversaries, and to learn to know the right gate into the Son of God. Oh, but acquaintance with the Son of God to say, My well-beloved is mine, and I am his, is a sweet and glorious course of life that none know but those who are sealed and marked in the forehead with Christ's mark and the new name that Christ writeth upon his own. Grace, grace, and mercy be with you, yours in Christ, F. R. Anwath, September 25, 1634. Letter 39 to my Lady Kenmure. Preparation for death and eternity. Madam, all dutiful obedience in our Lord remembered. I know ye are now near one of those straits in which ye have been before, but because your outward comforts are fewer, I pray him whose ye are to supply what ye want another way. For howbeit, we cannot win to the bottom of his wise providence, who ruleth all. Yet it is certain, this is not only good which the Almighty hath done, but it is best. He hath reckoned all your steps to heaven, and if your ladyship were through this water, there are the fewer behind, and if this were the last, I hope your ladyship hath learned by on waiting to make your acquaintance with death, which being to the Lord, the woman's seed, Jesus, only a bloody heel and not a broken head, Genesis 3:15, cannot be ill to his friends, who get far less of death than himself. Therefore, madam, seeing ye know not but the journey is ended, and ye are come to the water side, in God's wisdom look all your papers and your counts, and whether ye be ready to receive the kingdom of heaven as a little child, in whom there is little haughtiness and much humility. I would be far from discouraging your ladyship, but there is an absolute necessity that near eternity we look ere we leap, seeing no man winneth back again to mend his leap. I am confident your ladyship thinketh often upon it, and that your old guide shall go before you and take your hand. His love to you will not grow sour, nor wear out of date, as the love of men, which groweth old and gray-haired often before themselves. Ye have so much the more reason to love a better life than this, because this world hath been to you a coal of fire, with little heat to the body, and as little light, and much smoke to hurt the eyes. But, madam, your Lord would have you thinking it but dry breath, full of wind and empty of food. In this late visitation that hath befallen your ladyship, ye have seen God's love and care in such a measure that I thought our Lord break the sharp point off the cross and made us and your ladyship see Christ take possession and infestment upon earth of him who is now reigning and triumphing with the 144,000 who stand with the Lamb on Mount Zion. I know the sweetest of it is bitter to you, but your Lord will not give you painted crosses. He pareth not all the bitterness from the cross, neither taketh he the sharp edge quite from it. Then it should be of your walling and not of his, which should have as little reason in it as it should have profit for us. Only, madam, God commandeth you now to believe and cast anchor in the dark. night and climb up the mountain. He who hath called you, establish you, and confirm you to the end. I had a purpose to have visited your ladyship, but when I thought better upon it, the truth is, I cannot see what my company would profit you, and this hath broken off my purpose, and no other thing. I know many honorable friends and worthy professors will see your ladyship, and that the Son of God is with you, to whose love and mercy from my soul I recommend your ladyship and remain your ladyship's at all dutiful obedience in his sweet Lord Jesus, S.R. Anwath, November 29, 1634. Letter 40 to my Lady Kenmure. When Mr. Rutherford had the prospect of being removed from Anwath, Madam, my humble obedience in the Lord remembered. No, it hath pleased the Lord to let me see, by all appearance, that my labors in God's house here are at an end, and I must now learn to suffer, in the which I am a dull scholar. By a strange providence, some of my papers, anent the corruptions of this time, are come to the king's hand. I know by the wise and well-affected I shall be censured as not wise nor circumspect enough, but it is ordinary that that should be a part of the cross of those who suffer for him. Yet I love and pardon the instrument. I would commit my life to him, howbeit by him this hath befallen me. But I look higher than to him. I make no question of your ladyship's love and care to do what ye can for my help, and am persuaded that, in my adversities, your ladyship will wish me well. I seek no other thing but that my Lord may be honored by me in giving a testimony. I was willing to do him more service, but seeing he will have no more of my labors, and this land will thrust me out, I pray for grace to learn to be acquaint with misery, if I may give so rough a name to such a mark of those who shall be crowned with Christ. And howbeit, I will possibly prove a faint-hearted, unwise man in that, yet I dare say I intend otherwise. And I desire not to go on the lee side or sunny side of religion, or to put truth betwixt me and a storm. My Savior did not so for me, who in his suffering took the windy side of the hill. No farther. But the Son of God be with you, your ladyships, in the Lord Jesus, S.R., Anwath, December 5, 1634. Letter 41 for Marion MacNaught. The Church's Trials, Comfort Under Temptations, Deliverance, A Message to the Young. Well, beloved sister, my love in Christ remembered. I hear of good news anent our kirk, but I fear that our king will not be resisted, and therefore let us not be secure and careless. I do wonder if this kirk come not through our Lord's fan, since there is so much chaff in it. Howbeit, I persuade myself, the Son of God's wheat will not be blown away. Let us be putting on God's armor and be strong in the Lord. If the devil and Zion's enemies strike a hole in that armor, let our Lord see to that. Let us put it on and stand. We have Jesus on our side, and they are not worthy such a captain who would not take a blow at his back. We are in sight of his colors. His banner over us is love. Look up to that white banner and stand, I persuade you, in the Lord of victory.
This Reformation audio track is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. SWRB makes thousands of classic Reformation resources available, free and for sale, in audio, video, and printed formats. our many free resources, as well as our complete mail order catalog, containing thousands of classic and contemporary Puritan and Reform books, tapes, and videos at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, that's E-D-M-O-N-T-O-N, Alberta, abbreviated capital A, capital B, Canada, T6L3T5. You may also request a free printed catalog. And remember that John Calvin, in defending the Reformation's regulative principle of worship, or what is sometimes called the scriptural law of worship, commenting on the words of God, "which I commanded them not, neither came into my heart," from his commentary on Jeremiah 7:31, writes, "God here cuts off from men every occasion for making evasions, since he condemns by this one phrase, 'I have not commanded them,' whatever the Jews devised. There is then no other argument needed to condemn superstitions than that they are not commanded by God. For when men allow themselves to worship God according to their own fancies, and attend not to his commands, they pervert true religion. And if this principle was adopted by the papists, all those fictitious modes of worship in which they absurdly exercise themselves would fall to the ground. It is indeed a horrible thing for the papists to seek to discharge their duties towards God by performing their own superstitions. There is an immense number of them, as it is well known, and as it manifestly appears. Were they to admit this principle, that we cannot rightly worship God except by obeying his word, they would be delivered from their deep abyss of error. The prophet's words, then, are very important, when he says that God had commanded no such thing, and that it never came to his mind, as though he had said that men assume too much wisdom when they devise what he never required, nay, what he never knew."